John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I trust you're reading those. Our reading in the back of the bulletin every week connects our before the today's sermon and Monday, and then some Wednesday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday will be connected for the next Sunday. I hope you catch that. If you want to read what I'm preaching on, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is what I'm preaching on, and what I preached on today will be in the Monday's reading. Some of the Wednesday will be in the weekday readings, but we do that on the back of your bulletin every week so that you can be ready for what's coming. We're in the midst of a series on experiencing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there, and He lives in us. He's come, okay? And we're consumed with it. That's today. Just consumed with it. I've been thinking about that word all week long, just being consumed. Next week, He calls. He gives, He uses, He empowers for ministry, okay? That's next week. Got to be here for next week. But He came. He came. That was our first sermon in the series, that He lives in us. Huh? That God, deity, indwells us. Wow. Don't let it quickly go. And then He comforts us. He comforts us. And He guides us. He teaches us. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. Grab it. Let Him. You know, you're having a bad day. Grab your Bible and read it and let Him give you peace. Let Him give you comfort. Let Him teach you. Let Him bring things to your remembrance. That's His job. He's the comforter. Last week we were on convictions. He convicts of sin. And His job is to convict the people that are unsaved that they are sinners and need a Savior. Our job is to confront them and tell them. It's His job to convict them. Aren't you glad you got somebody helping you? That's God's job is to do it. If you will just simply open your mouth, even though you may do a terrible job of it. I always feel terrible when I witness somebody. Afterwards, I could have said this or could have said this. Or I should have said this. You know, all the should is no. If you open your mouth, God will fill it. Okay? And He's the convictor. And it says He convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment that the world may know. And keep at it to be saved. I trust you know you're saved here this morning because He convicts you that you were a sinner someday and then you got saved. And you got to be a sinner before you get to be saved. Is that true? And He's the convictor. And that's His job, the Holy Spirit. Today He consumes. He consumes. I just love this point. I just right at outset, He consumes each of us. Okay, we have Him living in us. Okay, He covers every part of it. He consumes each of us fully, and God's with us in good times and bad times. When we're sleeping, when we're awake, when we're at recreation. When we're at work, is that right? He consumes us. And that is so, so important that we understand that. John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Come and read it for us, Joel, please.
Well, it's exciting to be able to open Scripture, and especially in our Sunday school class, I've been going through words that Christ spoke, and these are some of those. So especially important that we grab what Jesus says. It seems that He spoke these words along with many others after their last, what we call the Passover supper with the disciples, and this is a part of a great question answer time. And wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I wish I could tell you that as I read it, I will read it as Jesus spoke it, but I don't think I can even come close. But stand with me. I think that will help us to guide our minds. So you are in chapter 15 of John, beginning at verse 5, and it's on page 794 of the Red Pew Bibles if you need that. So we will read some specific verses here. They're up on the overhead. So as we break into the narrative, Jesus is saying, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Drop down to verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And of course, Jesus goes on to speak many other words, but over in verse 30 of chapter 16, the disciples respond, now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. For by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Thank you. You may be seated.
It is so important that we realize that the Holy Spirit consumes us, and He abides in us, and we are to abide in Him. And my whole message this morning is that He's consumed us. We need to be consumed with Him. To be consumed with Him, to abide with Him, to dwell with Him, to remain with Him, to get our life from Him, to live through Him, to stay joined to Him. That's what the word abide means. And to be consumed, my. We're consumed with many things, but He wanted us to be consumed with Him. In John 16, verse 6, look at it. Most of these verses are 16. Always keep your finger. We're going to be jumping around to some passages, but always keep your finger in John 14, 15, 16. 16, 6, it says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. They were disappointed. They were grieved. They were there, and they were saying, wow, what do we do? What do we do? Had Amanda call me last week and say, I know a friend that has a son in the hospital right now. This is real. And he said he had drugs on him, and he saw the policeman coming up to his house, and he didn't know what to do with the drugs, and he didn't want to get caught with them, so he did what? He throwed them all in his mouth and swallowed them. In about an hour's time, he was in a coma, and he never recovered, and he died this week. Isn't that sad? That just, you got to be kidding me. And that's why our families need help and hope. And but he did that. He was so consumed with fear and grief, and he stuck them all in his mouth and swallowed them. And it is terrible, terrible to see this and to realize, wow, that's terrible. In John 16, verse 20, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, sorrow, but the world shall rejoice. Jesus is gone. They think they won. And ye shall be sorrowful. You shall be disappointed, grieved, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. See, there, he doesn't claim that life's going to be good. Be happy. No, he says, life's going to be tough, but I am with you, and I have overcome the world. Lean on me. Stress. Put the next slide up. Stress is something consumed with being stressed. This is so cool. I could never do these things. Stressed. Backwards spells what? I knew my wife would get it first. Or did you get it first? Did you get it? Who got it? Who got it? Okay, I knew she'd get it first. I'm terrible at this. Stressed, spelled backwards, spells what? Desserts. I thought that was so cool. I said, that is so neat that we're looking at it. We're looking at it the wrong way. Is that right? We need to be dyslexic. And, you know, consumed with desserts. Instead of stressed. And it is so important that we have issues. When you have pain, it just clutters everything. Is that right? You're consumed with it. When you have pain, you're consumed with it. You cannot think of anything else. It just is in your face and you can't think of anything. When you have a toothache, does it consume your whole body? It does. It does. You're consumed with it. And in our culture today, we are consumed with media. Is that right? You ever been in a bus or a train? Everybody's what? Nothing wrong with it. There's some good parts to it, okay? But we do need to stop. Teenagers, we do need to stop and say, hi. Is that true? You know, it's so helpful. I love it because I'm a terrible speller. So I can say, I can push it on button and I can say, hello, Ron Lee, I love you. And pinch button, and it goes. And it says, hello, Ron Lee, I love you. And I go, wow. It always amazes me. With my southern drawl, you should see some of the words that come out. If you ever get a text from me and it's bad, please know I tried my best. I probably hit the wrong button. I don't see how do you have big fingers and hit those little buttons? Always hit the wrong buttons. And I'm sitting there going, this is terrible. But we have a world that is consumed with media. Is that right? Social media. Doesn't have to be bad. But don't let it control you. Put it down. Can you live 5 minutes without it? You know. Do a day without it. You don't need it all the time. And also we're consumed with March. Andrew was teaching his class last Wednesday in his fifth grade and down, and he was the whole point was on madness or something. And he says, now when I say March, what do y'all think of? And not one of the kids came up with madness. He was sitting there going, Michigan! Oh, come on. You know, is there anything wrong with basketball? No. But is there something wrong with just being consumed with it? Yes. And we get consumed with so many things today, and we need to watch that, because we can get consumed with our hobbies. We can get consumed with clothing. Is that true? We can get that's all we think about. Consumed. Put the next slide up. That's not the word. Go ahead. We need to be consumed with the Creator and not with things created. Is that right? And we have a whole world that's turned upside down. And we need to be consumed with the Creator and not just with all the created things that we can have. And we need to be consumed with Jesus. And it's so important. Read with being consumed. Being consumed, it's all one thinks, gives time to, or talks about. That's you're consumed with it. What one is controlled by, fully focused on, gives single-mindedness to, obsessed with, absorbed in, or preoccupied with. That's a pretty good definition. We're consumed. And we get consumed with different things that is all about us. And we need to be consumed with Jesus. And that is so important that we realize that it's all about Him. don't turn to this, but Psalm 69, verse 9, it's quoted in John chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Another translation says, "My zeal for God and his work burns hot within me." Another translation says, "Completely controls me." Another translation says, "Passion for your house has consumed me." What consumes you? Does Jesus consume us? Another, Psalm 119, verse 20. King James says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." Another translation says, "I am constantly feel a hunger to understand your laws." Another, "I want to study your laws all the time." Another, "My soul is consumed with longing for your decrees at all times." Continually consumed. Huh? For God, his house, his word, his truth, him. Consume me. God, consume me. Put the next slide up. It is so important. This is in your bulletin. It says, "I want to be lost in your presence." Isn't that, just be consumed in his presence. I trust you get to those times where you're reading your Bible and praying and the presence of God just overwhelms you. Huh? Been there? Hope you get there. If you haven't gotten there, you've not read and prayed long enough. Because God will come, will take over. I want to be closer to your heart. I want to be consumed by your spirit. Draw me into your heart, your arms. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Just to be fully consumed with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. And it's so important. My points here this morning, I have four. To be consumed with truth. To be consumed with truth. That, John chapter 15, verse 7. Let me just read you a bunch of verses. Stay with me here. John chapter 15, verse 7. Everybody there. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you." Is that right? That we stay close to him. That we remain. That we be consumed with him, his presence, and his word, truth. Chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me." That we just be consumed with his truth and him. And then verse 15, chapter 15, verse 15. "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." That truth, that we be consumed, we got to study it, we got to know it. Everybody turn to the book of Colossians. Keep your finger in John chapter 15. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. I got 3-4 verses that I want you to see. I've limited myself to the book of Colossians on this point. To be consumed with truth. I want to say this while you're turning Colossians. I've been studying this for the last 2 weeks. And the word consumed has just consumed me. And I found that I can't stay there all the time. All the stuff of the world, the duties that I have to do, the functions that I have to be at, the things that I have to do for organization and planning and all that. I get my mind on certain things and I get consumed in those things. And even they're good, but I find, Riley and I went to see Andrew this week and get consumed in the grandkids, okay? That's really fun, okay? But if you're not careful, you're playing with them, playing basketball with them, or me watching them play basketball. And but you get consumed in your work, you get consumed, and you got it. You can't stay consumed in God. But you can go there all through the day. Huh? That's the key. You can't live there because you're in the flesh and you got to do certain things and you get all consumed in what you're doing and you kind of forget everything. Is that right? And then you realize, wow, I haven't talked to God for 2 hours. Is that right? And you go talk to God. I haven't thought about God, and all of a sudden you see a sunset and you go, wow, thank you, God. Huh? Hope you're there. And a verse pops in your mind and you just enjoy it. And truth there, you consume yourself with truth. If you will consume yourself with truth, it will set you free. Now you can't stay there, so you got to go there about 20, 25 times a day. Do you understand? It's all right. It's all right. You know, you'll be caught up in something else, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then you got to go back and get consumed with God again. Get into His presence. Get into His arms. Get into His Word. Get into and let it consume you. You might not be able to read it, but you can think about it, and you have it in your head. Is that right? And you think about it. You chew it over, and you get consumed with it. And then you start praying for somebody, or you start helping and caring for somebody, and you're just thinking about God in those times. And that should be happening 20, 25, 30 times a day. You realize, get back. Get back. Is that right? And truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. This is one of the best verses. What's the first word? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. What's the first word? Set. What does that do? How do you set? Is that right? Every time you get something going and you have to determine to do it, you have to set your mind on it. Is that right? How many of your minds drift all over the place? Mine is all over. You can tell my personality just drifts everywhere. I can talk in three different directions at the same time. Pity my assistants. You know, I'll be talking, and I'll go to another subject, and I'll go to another subject, and my assistants usually say, "Preacher, let's go back to the first one." We drift all the time, and it says, set your mind. So I have to set my mind on God 20, 30 times a day. Is that right? I hope you understand that. Set, don't kick yourself. Boy, I didn't, you know, I only thought of God 10 times today. Praise God. Huh? You know, I went all day and I only thought of Him twice. You know, don't kick yourself, just do it more. And it says, reset. Your mind, and this is amplified, and keep focused habitually on the things above the earth, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. Set your mind on things above. Is that right? Up. Now, earth is pulling you in every direction. Is that right? And that's all right, because I hope when you're at work, you got your mind on work. My boss just tell him, "I got to go pray for an hour." No, you're there to work. Is that right? You're there to work. But can you keep meditation in God's truth and thinking of Him? I trust you. You have Bible verses put around in your cubicle or whatever you work with. I trust you have those. You can have them in your lunchbox. Is that right? You can do a lot of stuff to keep your mind truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Great verses. Look at them here. Colossians 3, 14 to 16. King James, it says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let," there it is, set, "the peace of God rule in your hearts, consumed with truth, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye," what? "Thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you," what? "So much, beautifully, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Song's been in my mind for the last 2 weeks is, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you." Amen. I trust you sing. Now, if you can't sing well, sing softly. That I trust you sing. You need to sing. We need to, the truth, be consumed with truth will result in truth, in peace, and song. And in Colossians 3:4, I think I have it written up here, it just says, Christ, who is our life. Life is not a beach. You know, life is not a basketball game. Life is not clothes. Life is Christ. And that's how we be consumed with truth. Secondly, we need to be consumed with obedience. We need to be consumed with obedience. Chapter 15, verse 10, it says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And that is so important that we keep his commandments, that we realize, if I would obey, you know, most of us we have more knowledge of the Bible that we're not obeying. We don't need new knowledge. We just need to obey what we do know. Okay? And that is important that we realize, I know to be honest, and I know to be good, and I know to be walking with God. I know to cast off darkness and put on the armor of light. I know to stay away from all kinds of evilness and all kinds of quarreling and jealousies and put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Is that right? You know all of that. Do it. Be consumed with doing right. Be consumed with when a temptation to do wrong, you're consumed and you say what? No. You're consumed. You're consumed with truth. You're consumed with obedience. And that is so, so important that we grasp that. And we're consumed, thirdly, with fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. That we bear one another's in fruitfulness. That we bear much fruit. That we abide in Him. You'll bear much fruit. Everybody turn to Galatians chapter 5. Keep your place there in John 15. Galatians chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. We got to be consumed with this, not just a little bit. I got to be consumed with God's truth. I got to be consumed with obeying the scriptures, the principles, the precepts, the promises, all of the things of God. And then to be consumed with fruitfulness. I want to bear fruit. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, to make me have the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy. It's put up here, I think it is. Love, joy, peace. Read it with me. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. If we will be consumed with truth and with obedience, we can start producing some of these things. And the response of you, you should have a selfless response. You should have a peace instead of a quarrel. You should have joy instead of sadness and sorrow. You just realize, if I look to God in this issue, I can have these things. I can have patience. I can have all these things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Live there. Live there. Produce these fruits. And ye shall not be fulfilled with the lust of the flesh. The flesh is there all the time. You have to resist it. I want to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. I want to have that. Verse 22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, holiness, faith, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, I like that, possessive, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I don't have to do that. I'm Jesus'. Verse 25. If we live, if you are alive, if you are saved by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, let us also walk in the Holy Spirit. Live in the Holy Spirit. Respond. You got it. You're saved. Live it. Just be consumed with the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, verse 29, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 15, flow back to verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not, what's the next word? Consumed one of another. Be consumed with fruitfulness is wonderful. Fourth point. I'm getting done here. I might be done before noon.
Amen.
consumed with joyfulness. Don't count on it. Be consumed with joyfulness. Joyfulness. John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy," Jesus' joy, "might remain in you," stay in you, abide in you, same word, "and that your joy might be full." Is that what He's promised us? He didn't promise us to have a life of ease. He says, you're going to have tribulations on this earth. You live in a wicked world. Is that right? But be of good cheer. What? I've overcome the world. Trust me. Trust me. I know what's going on. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know why this happened. You don't, but I do, Jesus says. Chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be" what? Full. John 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," Jesus, "ye might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer." What? I have overcome the world. How do we have all this? Him. And we get consumed with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, He consumes us so that we can be consumed in Him. And we can be consumed in His truth. Just keep it coming, keep it coming, keep it coming. And when I'm falling all over the place, truth rises. And then I can start obeying it. And then I can start rejoicing in it and having the fruit of the Spirit. And then it results in joyfulness. And I say, wow, I have it here. I think I have Ecclesiastes up here. This is a great verse. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 20. It says, "For he will not often consider the troubled days of his life." Now in Ecclesiastes, life is vanity, nothing lasts. You work hard and somebody comes in and tears everything down, okay? Nothing satisfies, okay? Doesn't that trouble most of us? Yeah, you go, wow, there used to be a building there and it's not there anymore. You know, I saw that building being built. That means I am old. And now there's nothing there. And that kind of depresses you. And this is where he's at, you know, "For he will not often consider the troubled days of his life." You know, troubled days are all around us. That's just life. That's just life. I love this next part. "Because God keeps him occupied and focused on the joy of his heart, and the tranquility of God indwells him." Now read that a couple times. That is the Amplified version of Ecclesiastes 5:20. Why don't I get all upset about all the troubles of our day? If you watch the news very much, you're troubled. Don't watch it. And, we're troubled. And I can just, I just get consumed with all of that bad news. And I need to realize it's real, it's life. You know, we're in a wicked world. But he says, God keeps him occupied and focused. Is that right? Instead of me looking at all of this, I what? Is that right? And I can look up and be focused on Him and realize, yeah, it's not too good going on, but I got a God who's in charge. And I got a God who knows the beginning from the end. And I got a God who is sovereign. And I got a God that is just, holy, righteous, and good. And He loves me, and He's working everything out for His glory and my good. Is that right? And that's truth. That's being consumed with truth. And then I obey it. I respond to it. I claim it. And then I have the fruits of the Spirit. I don't get sad. I have joy. And I realize that's how I do it. And I keep my mind stayed up on Jehovah. And that's the key of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, that I could be consumed on truth. And when I'm getting on other things, I need to go back to truth. And when I'm being consumed about other things and I'm tempted to be disobedient, I go back to obedience. And when I'm consumed with my way and injustice and it's not fair and people do this to me, I go back to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. When things are going sad and bad, I go to Jesus for joy. Because it's not my joy, it's His joy. And that's the Holy Spirit empowering us. And I just challenge you to realize that He fully consumes me. Put this up. He fully consumes me. Put the next one up. And we have that so I can be fully consumed with Him. That's the word. Let's all read it together. He fully consumes me so I can be fully consumed with Him. And that's the key of it all to realize. Thank you, Jesus. We close with John 16, verse 30. Everybody turn back there. John 16, verse 30, and I close. John 16, verse 30, this is the end of his discourse. He's getting ready to go into 17 in his prayer in the Garden of Eden, or Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 30, it says, now we are what? This is, you know, you are God. Huh? We realize that now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. But by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. We believe. We are sure. I can have a bad day and God can turn it into a good day if I just trust Him and get my mind on His stuff and not my stuff. Huh? That's the key. That I get consumed, obsessed, preoccupied with truth. That's why you got to know it. You got to study it. That's why you got to come Sunday night and learn more. Is that right? And then you know to obey. I don't have to do this. I can obey. I can do right. And then I can start being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. It's starting to come out of me, flow out of me. Because truth and obedience is rolling in me. And the fruit will roll out of me. And it'll end up in joy. Wayne's going to sing a song for us in a minute. Put the next one up. This song he's going to sing, it says, I regret the hours I have wasted and the pleasures I have tasted that you were never in. And I confess that though your love is in me, you're saved, it doesn't always win me, consume me, when competing with my sin. It's the chorus says, and I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. I return to fall in love with Jesus. Every day, 100 times a day, fall in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent. Second stanza. I lament the idols I've accepted, the commandments I've rejected, to pursue myself selfish, and I confess I need you to revive me. Put selfishness behind me and take up my cross again. I repent, no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. I return, I fall in love with Jesus. That's the key. You will be focused, you'll be consumed, you will be abiding, and then you'll drift to other things. And then you'll remember, oh, Jesus, and you come back to Him. And fall in love with Him again. Let Him be consumed with His truth, His obedience, His fruitfulness, His joyfulness. Let it just keep coming. And then you'll lose it again. Is that right? And then you come back to it again. You're not losing your salvation. You're just being distracted. Is that right? Real life. And I think that's what He wanted you to do. Do you know that way you can have revival 10 or 20 times a day? That's the key. To fall back in love with Jesus. Let Him consume you with His truth, His obedience, His fruitfulness, and His joyfulness. Amen. Come and sing a song for us. Thank you.
Last week, the pastor talked about the Holy Spirit. He convicts men of sin, of God's righteousness, and of eternal judgment. The Holy Spirit did that in my life 42 years ago.
Amen.
Through the faithful witness of other people, through the teaching and the preaching of the Word, that drawing of the Holy Spirit, I came face to face with the fact that I was lost, an enemy of God, dead in my trespasses and sins. And Jesus said, repent, repent. Turn from your sins and turn to God. I did that. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit has never ceased, and it will never cease in the lives of believers. There are times when He, wanting to consume us, we find ourselves consumed with other things, as Pastor said. The recipe is still the same. Repent.
Amen.
Turn from that thing that has captured your heart, captured your attentions, captured your emotions, captured your energies. Turn to God. I repent.
I have tasted that you were never in, and I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. And
I trust every believer here this morning will realize that all of us have time. times where we're not consumed with Him. Some of us let it go for days and weeks. That's when the devil really gets the victory. We get very discouraged. But if we would keep that hourly or 10 minutes and just realize, I can fall in love with Jesus again. I can start being consumed with His truth and His obedience and His fruitfulness and His joyfulness again. And I might need to do it again in 10, 20 minutes, half hour. That's the key to living for God and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The flesh naturally pulls us away, but then we come back to the Spirit multiple times a day. I trust you know that's revival. That's the thrill. How many this morning say, preacher, I needed this message. I needed this message this morning. Could you raise your hand? I needed this message. I need this message. I did too. If you're here this morning, don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're missing having the Holy Spirit live within you, empowering you, guiding you, teaching you, reminding you, comforting you. Wow. You need to be saved. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray with you? Every head bowed, every head closed, just you, me, and God? Anybody? I pray for you. Christians, get revival at least 20 times a day and rejoice in the power of the Spirit. Amen?